Our passage is Acts 11, 1 to 18. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that cannot thou common, that call now thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John, indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. If you're comfortable standing, I ask that you do so to honor the texts. Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I will give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I haven't been out here for a while. Just on a spur of the moment, we'll try something a little different. How do you think of that? Make you a little nervous? Had a friend when I was in college, Dave, wonderful. Good friend, and he told me a story. He grew up in Cortez, Colorado. You know where Cortez is? And down there, he was a Boy Scout, and he and his buds, they were good kids, and they were always about doing good, wonderful things. And, you know, it's pretty rustic, rural down there. They were walking along the road one day, and they heard this tick-tick-tick, and they thought, what is that? And of course, good Boy Scouts, they were attentive, and they went and they came up next to the road and they heard the ticking, and there was a metal box down by a signpost, down kind of in the bushes down along the side of the road. And it was making this ticking sound. Well, they were good Boy Scouts. They knew this had to be some nefarious device, perhaps a bomb of some sort. So they took and they tore it loose and they went out in the brush a ways and they dug a hole and they buried it. They were very proud of themselves. Come news time, they There was a report from the Colorado Department of Transportation. Someone had stolen a traffic counter. It's bolted to a sign with a rubber tube that goes across the road, and it counts the number of cars that goes by. And every time a car goes over it, it clicks to detect the car. They realized that they had erred. Good boys that they were, they dug it up and anonymously returned it. They had meant, they had the best of intentions. They had meant to do the right thing, but through lack of information, through a different lens, they had just not managed to do exactly what the right thing was to do there. True story. Another true story, there was a jury trial. I don't know where it was now. But at the jury trial, the jury had to determine the sentence for a person who had been convicted of a crime. And they were debating what... Hang on here. We're having a little trouble. They were debating what the punishment should be. And so one of the men said, we need a Bible, and he asked the bailiff to go and get them a Bible, and the bailiff didn't think any of it, but he went and got the Bible and brought it to them. And the man read in the Bible, it says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so he was arguing that to the jury. The judge heard about it, and he said, wait a minute. And he gathered them all in, and he said, so you're listening to what it says here. And the Bible says that. It says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the man nodded his head and he said, that's what I grew up learning. And the judge said, what about what Jesus said? Jesus said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, turn the other cheek. The man got very quiet. And the judge declared a mistrial. The man had intended to do the right things. He knew the right ends. He had learned that, and it was a good thing that he was in the midst of. But Jesus had taken what was the laws and refined them to bring us to what we are as Christians. This has been an interesting set of scriptures. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's been some interesting scriptures, and they've been pushing me in an interesting direction. I began work on this sermon a couple of weeks ago, and it was pushing me in this direction. I thought, gosh, we've been kind of talking about change already. And then we went to that workshop yesterday, Mark and I did. We came back with our eyes about this big round. Fun, interesting, exciting, unsettling things that we found. Change. But we were talking a couple of weeks ago about that golden calf. You remember the golden calf? All the Hebrews, all the people, they all worshiped the golden calf, the Baal worshippers, the Asherah worshippers. They all had their worship sets and their beliefs and all of that. And Moses says, no. All of that has to go by the wayside, and we only worship Yahweh, God, only one, Jehovah, however you want to phrase it. There's only one God, and all of those others have to be put by the wayside. That's a huge change for a people to undertake. Think about that, your entire religious faith belief system, and you're going to change it all now. Think of how hard that would be and how central generations and what a huge societal change had come. So today Renee read another big one. This is out of the Acts passage. How many of you noticed the front of your bulletins? How many of you wondered, what in the heck is that picture of? That's that moment when Simon Peter has a vision in the Holy Spirit, and he sees, Renee, I think in your scripture you said it was a sheet filled with, some of the King James versions call it a large vessel comes down and it's filled with all of the unclean animals, four-footed beasts and all of the things that were unclean and forbidden. And it says, go and slay. Didn't yours say slay? Renee? I think the Revised Standard says kill and eat. And Simon says, no, Lord. Oh, no, I've never done that. I have never transgressed. I have never partaken of unclean foods. My lips are pure. Doesn't it sound like Simon Peter? But the Holy Spirit says, what I have made clean, you cannot make unclean. I have taken these unclean things now, and they are now changed. They are now clean. They are now acceptable to you and to the people. Can you imagine that? How many generations have you gone that you would not dare to eat these foods? And now all of a sudden, you can. The people turn to Simon Peter and says, "What are you doing? You're eating with these uncircumcised people." He's talking about the Greeks and some of the others. And during their early period, the Hebrews had these high walls built around them, these walls to help keep them together as a people, and they were essential. And those walls helped keep them. When they got conquered and they were scattered all over the Mediterranean, they had no place. The term is in diaspora. The scattering. They were in Egypt, they were in Babylon, they were all across the Mediterranean, and no place together. And how are you going to hold on to your beliefs? You're living amongst a people that doesn't believe as you do. How are you going to remain cohesive? And so having these dietary laws and these laws on how you live and how you are, they help them maintain their identity. And they survived till they came back together as a people and were repatriated back to their homes in Jerusalem. It was an important time to have those walls in place. And so protecting the faith was a good thing. And the people are saying, "Well, what are you doing now? You're crossing those borders." They weren't bad people. They were doing what they'd been trained to do and what had been the case. But the Holy Spirit comes. This is God present with us. This is God coming down among us saying, "I'm changing the rules here. What was unclean, you cannot call common. I have made them clean for you." And these unclean men, these uncircumcised men, Peter breaks bread with them. It's a pretty symbolic sort of thing. Now, it didn't happen one day, one night, one meal, one weekend. It was just like that golden calf event. That would have taken some time and some struggle. And some prayerful contemplation to be able to make those changes of what we had been to what we are. And it would have been painful. I'm sure some people just said, "No, I'm not gonna." Some people rejected it and went away from it. Some people just completely imploded. I feel like imploding occasionally, don't you? Gentiles in the church. Can you imagine? Gentiles, people that weren't Jewish at birth, were Jewish, didn't grow up Jewish, don't have full Jewish blood, and they're allowing them in the church. Well, that's most of us here today now, isn't it? What a change that has come to be. This bit about John. We read about John this morning. In John, we read about Jesus and he's talking to the disciples. There was a fella, if you drive north on I-25, I served the church at Johnstown. It's about where the Loveland exit is up there. And not far from there, there's a man who owns a field. And he put up a huge sign and he got several sheets of plywood and he had somebody paint it. They did a really good job, but it's the Ten Commandments. And he says, "We need to be good Christians," and he has the Ten Commandments there. And you can see it from the highway, and he's very proud of having the Ten Commandments there in front of everything. And I looked at that and I thought, we are good Christians, but and these are the Ten Commandments. These are the commandments that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai to the Hebrews on how to live and how to be. And all of those are still valid, but Jesus came and said in the passage we said today, "I bring you a new commandment." There's the Ten Commandments. There's the Sinai Covenant. That's what it's called by, you know, churchy people. And those Ten Commandments are still valid. They don't go away. But here is the new commandment between Christ and humanity. That's what we were talking about with the kids. That commandment, "Love one another as I have loved you." That's what the guy should have put on his sign. You could probably read it while you're doing 75 dodging trucks and speeding down this interstate. That's all right. Not bad people. Just struggling to take in what they know and understand the faith that they have and try and share that with the world. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you get the wrong message. I've heard an eye for an eye, for a tooth for a tooth. It's in the Bible. It seems to make sense. Why would we not celebrate that and share that? And I want to clarify that I talk to people sometimes and they say, well, I don't know my Bible well enough to really talk about my faith. I hate to break it to you, but neither do I. Neither does the bishop. Neither does aunt do any of us. We don't know the Bible as well as perfectly that we should. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay because when we gather and talk, we can back up and say, well, there's some very concrete things I do know. The golden rule is pretty straightforward. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think that's a part of the culture we understand and know, and our culture has absorbed that. It's central to who we are as a people. That's pretty straightforward. But when it comes down to the bottom line on things, the Bible it sits on a rock. That's what Peter means. The word Peter is a translation of rock. So you can call me Pastor Rock. Maybe not. I don't think it has the same ring to it, does it? But it's that rock that Jesus says, upon this rock I build my church, and upon this will be the foundation. And that rock is a simple one. Love one another. This is the anvil, the rock, the test point, the balance upon which to put our things and say, what should we do about this? There are questions. Are you supposed to eat meat on Fridays? Well, what about that rule in the Bible that says on the seventh year you're supposed to forget all the people that owe you money, erasing their debts? That's in the Bible somewhere. Somewhere it says you're not supposed to wear cloaks with mixed fabrics. I never have figured out what that one was about, but it's in there. It's a very straightforward rule in the Old Testament. There's a rule in there that says women are not supposed to speak in church. Thank you for laughing. We've struggled and worked with that. It's been a part of who and what we're about. And all of those different rules, and none of us know all of them and understand all of them. And I like to watch Jeopardy, but whenever they have the Bible section, they'll ask you a question. Who was Moses' mother-in-law's dog's name? And I'll say, boy, I wish I knew my Bible better. I don't think it's in there, by the way. But there are a lot of those that we can't be sure of, but there are questions that do come up. And they say, well, aren't you a person that's a person of faith? Don't you go to church? Yes. Well, then what's the answer? The answer is simple. If it backs up to that rock of love one another, there's your test. That's what we have to be about. That's what Jesus was about. That's what Jesus is teaching us to offer to the world. Lord God, thank you for continuing with us, with humanity, for guiding us, directing us, for carrying us. Amen.